things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For our light affliction, that offends some people to call it a light affliction, but the apostle called it a light affliction, is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Would you pray together with me right now? God in heaven, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to come into your house one more time and to feel your presence. I pray in this Bible class tonight that you would anoint the teaching of your word, anoint my tongue, help me to be sensitive to what you're doing. Give me an understanding, dear God, the needs of your people tonight. In Jesus' name, let your will be done. Your word's already anointed, but I pray that our hearts can receive it. We're so full of so many things. Help us, dear God. Help us, dear God, to not major in minor things. In Jesus' name, let your will be done now, dear God. We're going to thank you and praise you. Before you're seated, can we give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. We praise your holy name. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Susie called her friend, asked how she was doing. Her friend was just, she could just tell that she was just frazzled to no end. She was just frayed. She said, "Terrible. I'm doing terrible. My head's splitting. I've got a migraine. My back and legs are killing me. The kids are driving me crazy. This house is a wreck." And Susie, full of compassion, said, "Honey, go lay down. Listen, go lay down. I'll come over right away. I'll clean the house. I'll cook lunch for your family. You just rest up, and I'll take care of the children while you get some rest, and maybe that migraine will settle down. By the way, how's your husband Sam doing? Is he not around?" There was silence on the phone a moment, and the woman said, "I don't have a husband, Sam." The woman said, "Oh boy, I must have called the wrong number." She said, "I bet you're not coming over, are you?" Some years ago, there was a flight from Portland, Maine to Boston. The pilot, his name was Henry Dempsey. Henry, there was a noise in the back of the plane. It was a smaller plane, commercial plane. There was a noise in the back, and so he told the co-pilot, he said, "Take over the controls. I'm going to go back and see what the racket is." He got to the back of the plane, and it was a cargo plane. And he figured out what it was. The rear door had not been latched properly. And almost the minute that he realized the problem was this banging door that had not been latched properly, they hit air turbulence and the door flew open. He was sucked out of the plane. The co-pilot, whenever the door flew open, the light came on in the cockpit, warning of the door being open. He immediately called for emergency landing to the closest airport, and they were flying over the ocean, and he called the coordinates. They knew it, but to make sure that they knew, and to send a helicopter search party to look. He had no idea what had went on back there, but just to cover all the steps. And flying at the 200 mile an hour and 4,000 feet in the air, it was not a good setting. But the co-pilot was able to land the plane. And after he landed the plane, somehow the pilot, Henry Dempsey, had grabbed the ladder that was right outside that door. And at 200 miles per hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet, and then landing and keeping his head from hitting the runway, he was able to stay attached to that ladder. They said it took several minutes to pry Dempsey's fingers from the ladder, but he was safe. He had been holding on with a death grip, because there was no alternative. Maybe it's because I have an insight in a lot of people's lives today that it seems like there's a lot of people that are flying at 4,000 feet, 200 mile an hour, holding on to the ladder with a death grip. And sometimes the only thing that can be said is hold on. Hang in there. Sometimes there is not a word to give you direction other than hold on. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7 said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And in verse 9 he says, "And let us not grow weary in well doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." The wisdom of due season, the understanding of due season, it lies in understanding that due season always comes. Due season is something that you can count on. Here in Southern Illinois, most of the time we don't get the season of spring. We will go from winter to a couple weeks of wet, very cold, to summer. We had spring this year, but it's not usual. You don't know if you're going to get it or not. We don't know what kind of fall we're going to have a lot of times here in Southern. We're just on that line where it seems like we really just have two seasons, summer and winter, and there's this gray area between the two as they transcend in one into the other. But the due season is one that you can depend on. It is one that is going to show up. You are guaranteed. It always comes because it's a law with God. Don't spend time worrying about whether God's word will come. come to pass in your life. Instead, spend time preparing for the promise. Spend time preparing for the due season. And whatever you do, when due season does come, understand that it's there. Recognize that your moment is there. That you're not so caught up in something else that you miss your due season. Because that is what so many people are making the mistake of doing. Amen. Don't worry spending time about whether or not God's word is going to work out in your life. It is going to work. Must come to pass because it's a law with God. Just like you have the law of gravity. Just like you have the law of gravity. And if you was to jump off of a tall building, you are going to get hurt, if not die. It's going to happen. You cannot fly by your own abilities. It's not going. Gravity is going to take its course. Amen. Death is going to come to all of us eventually, unless the rapture takes place. But we can count on it. If the Lord tarries, we are all going to go by way of the grave. Some will be considered young when they die. Others will be considered old when they die. But whatever happens, you will die. This is going to happen. Amen. There is a time and a season, a time to be born and a time to die. We all understand this. You need to understand also that there is a due season. Amen. You are not wasting your time doing and investing and spending in the Word of God and spending in the righteous and spiritual things of your life, preparing for the promise. The word must come to pass because it's a law. Amen. Meanwhile, if you're not prepared for the word to show up, you're going to miss that promise. And I have seen it happen in too many people's lives. I've seen people that instead of getting better, they got bitter. And when you get bitter, all you see is the bitter. All you see is the bad. Bitterness is a plant that has to be constantly watered. It's a plant that you have to constantly tend to. You cannot stay bitter. You have to work at it. And whenever you've made up your mind that your identity is tied to your bitterness, your identity is tied to this catastrophe, this accident, this mistake, this problem, this being done wrong, this being cheated, this being stolen from, whatever it is that you've tied yourself to. I'm not downplaying the fact that you've had something bad happen to you, but whenever you tie your identity and the rest of your life to that bad, negative thing that has happened to you, it consumes everything. And when your due season comes, when that moment comes that God has prepared for your life, amen, you won't be ready to meet it because you don't have your eyes on it. And it will pass you by, just like Jesus walking through the village. Amen. He will walk by you and you won't even notice that it's Him. Amen. I encourage somebody tonight. I'm not telling you you've not had problems. I'm not telling you you've not had tough times. But I am telling you this. You are guaranteed that Jesus is going to show up somewhere, sometime. And when He does, you want to have oil in your lamp. You want to be prepared for the blessing of God in your life. Amen. Can we just love the Lord here for just a moment? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's the thing that people are forgetting in this life. This age that we live in, they don't want to invest. You have to invest to get anything. You have to invest. It doesn't just happen. You have to invest. If you invest a little bit, you'll get a little bit more. If you invest a lot, you'll get a lot more. But you have to invest. The issue that people forget is that God does not bless us outside of blessing His kingdom. Everything that God does is kingdom work. I must say that again. Everything that God does is kingdom work. He's not out to just bless and work miracles just to be working miracles. He won't pull rabbits out of the hat just to give you some entertainment. God's not into that. It is about the kingdom. And when you're about the kingdom, you can rest assured that your due season is going to work out and it's going to happen. But when you're over here building your own little sandcastle kingdom, you're over here doing your little thing and all about yours. Amen. God's not into building your kingdom. God isn't here to build your kingdom. God isn't here to make you happy. That's not what he's about. He's here to bless you with spiritual blessings. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't bless us with earthly things, because God has blessed me abundantly with all kinds of things in this world. Amen. He's been good to, but that's not what his business is about. That's not what he's about. Amen. He is about the kingdom. Amen. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you see, this is the key. He's kingdom minded. If I'm kingdom minded, my life is going to be consumed into the kingdom, and I'm going to be blessed because of the kingdom. You can't chase the blessing while forgetting about the blesser. You can't claim the promise and get the manifestation while you're breaking his principles. It will not work. It will not happen. It is not going to happen. I'm going to tell you all something right now, something that this world is forgetting. One of the things that COVID has done to the church, amen, is this, is it's caused it to be too easy for people to miss church. It's caused it to be too easy for people to stay home. It's caused it to be too easy for people to just play hooky and use all kinds of excuses for reasons. And listen to me right now. If you're not in the roll books here and in attendance, you're probably not going to be in the roll call up there. It's not going to happen. It does not work like that. Amen. You can't tell me how much you love God and you haven't been in the house of God in a long time. If you really love him, you're going to be there. Amen. You're going to do your best. Now, I realize that jobs and situations will keep us out, but when we're going to do everything we can to make it into the house of God to be there. I love whenever somebody tells me, Pastor, pray for me because I'm putting my application in as such and such because I'm tired of having to miss church. And if I can get this job, amen, I will be able to be in church more. You know what? That's kingdom minded. Amen. It's more important than my time. Amen. Out on the lake. It's more important than my time. Amen. On the golf course or whatever it is that we're doing. Understanding the times. We've got to understand we are in some weird times right now. Amen. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Amen. As he was going down through the tribes and he was naming those, and it was all about war. Those that were going to be able to fight. Those that were going to be able to give. Amen. He talks about the children of Issachar. Amen. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. It wasn't enough that they had people that knew how to use spears and swords and all the battlement armor and all of those things. You've got to have those that's skilled in that area. But it's very important that you have some people that have an understanding of the times. The church ought to have an understanding of the times. Amen. You shouldn't be caught totally off guard. Amen. If you will get into prayer time, if you'll get in your prayer closet, whenever you don't understand what's going on, amen, find a place to pray and stay there long enough in the presence of God. Amen. To get an understanding of your times. Amen. It's not accident. Not if you're a child of God. It's not out of God's control. Especially if you're a child of God. Amen. God is ordering the steps. God knows what he's doing. Amen. Oh, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. In the name of Jesus. All of us grow weary from time to time. In our day-to-day living as parents and husbands, wives, employees, employers, it's burnout. That's the word that's used now. It's used frequently. It happens when very dedicated. It's a word that's actually used like awesome. It's used too often, and it's lost its meaning, its spice. It's lost it, but true burnout comes when very dedicated, committed people in the workplace suddenly wake up and realize they don't have nothing left to give. They're wore out. They're tired. They're mentally spent. They're emotionally spent. And even sometimes physically. Tired of giving, tired of going, tired of doing, tired of serving. And they find the joy of service is gone. That's true in the secular world, but it's also true in the spiritual world. I'm going to talk about something right now that we don't like to admit, but it needs to be admitted. It needs to be talked about. The writers of the New Testament, all of them realize that from time to time, those faithful workers for the Lord become weary. This issue is addressed in a number of scriptures, and I tend to not talk about the personal walk of the Lord, because the minute you talk about Jesus, you expected of him. But I'm going to tell you, you can go and you can read the prayer of the man Jesus that prayed. And it finally come down to the place when he was crying great drops of blood. It wasn't for the souls of humanity. It was because he was at that breaking point. Amen. And he finally said, not my will, but thy will be done. Why? Why did he go through something like that? So that you and I can come someday boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy in time of need. Why? Because he was tempted in all points like as we are. He knows what it is to be weary. You say, but scripture talks about don't grow weary. No, what it's talking about is don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Not now. Hold on, because usually whenever the enemy gets you to throw it in the towel and you finally throw it in, it's right at the goal line. It's right when you're about ready to get that blood. It's right at due season that it happens, and you give up too soon. You don't want to do that. That's what it's talking about. But if the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, in the man when he was limited to the flesh, could end up saying, not my will, but thy will be done. That's saying, not what I want, but what you want. I want something totally different. I don't like what I'm going through, but not what I want, what you want. And that's what it is. Hang in there, in other words. Hold on to that ladder. You're 4,000 feet up. Amen. Going 200 miles an hour. Don't let go. Get a death grip on it. Amen. Don't give up. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. We already read it, but it said, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, he said, but ye brethren, amen, do not weary in well-doing. Why do these those in the Lord's work grow weary? Oh, there's a lot of reasons. But today, we've got to be careful, because we are such a result-oriented society. When you mentioned playing golf, those of you that don't play golf, you have no idea. You don't understand. But those that play golf, they'll go out and they'll have that one time that the ball will do everything that they want it to do, and they'll think, I finally got it. I finally got it. This is it. I love golf. And the very next, that'll be the first nine and the second nine, because you play two nines when you're doing good. When you're not doing good, you say, I'm only playing nine today. I do a lot of nines. A second nine, you get out there and it just falls apart. What happened? Well, part is you got tired, but that's just part of playing golf. When you have a good score, you keep the card. You want to show everybody. Whenever you go fishing and you have a big catch, you got that stringer full. You've got pictures. You make sure you take pictures. You don't ever take pictures of an empty stringer. I've yet to see that. We result-oriented society. Many activities in the secular world, we measure success in tangible ways. One gentleman that I know really well, it never ceases to amaze me. He's worked for the same company for many years. Faithful to this company, sales position. Many times he is salesman of the week, of the month, even I believe of the year. Bringing in huge money, but let him go through a spell, even though he's maybe been selling for this company for 20 plus years. Let him go through a spell where nobody's buying. It doesn't matter that nobody is making good. He's not making good. And the company will say, you either get your numbers up or we're going to have to let you go. Why? Because we're a result-oriented society. We're no longer loyal. We're no longer faithful. That if I'm not seeing results, I'm out of here or you're out of here. When God commissioned the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9, he told Isaiah to deliver God's message, deliver my message to the people. They're not going to hear you, and they're not going to see, but do it anyway. Jeremiah was commissioned by God to deliver his message to the people, but the only result that Jeremiah ever received was his own ridicule and torture. I mean, he was in despair of his life. Isaiah and Jeremiah both labored for God with absolutely no positive results from a worldly point of view. Imagine how weary they had to have become as they continued to labor for the Lord with no observable results. This is what our society is today. Imagine of the preacher Noah. As for 120 years, he builds a boat and he preaches repentance. He talks about the coming of judgment of God, how that it's going to happen, and people laugh him to scorn. For over 100 years, this is happening. Lord closes the door on the ark, and the only ones that made on that ark was he and his sons and their wives. That was it. His wife, and he heard people, the anguish, the screaming, the crying, the wailing, as the rain began to fall and the floods began to rise. Hell, he must have felt like a failure, but really is a man a failure if he has his family in the ark of safety. If anybody else would have listened, it would have been a bonus. It would have been great. If he was like some preachers, he would have been shouting from the rooftops about how great it was that he got that boat full of people. But in my opinion, if one of his sons or daughter-in-laws or his wife would have not been on that boat, but that boat would have been packed with every town person that lived around that boat, he would have been a failure. It's all in how you're looking at it. It's all in how you're observing it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. God has been good to us. Amen. God has been. It might not be the same measuring stick that this world uses. God has been good to us. The Greeks had a race in the Olympic Games back in the originals. It was unique. As they ran, the winner was not the runner who necessarily came in first, but it was the runner who finished first with his torch still lit. It's not to the one that runs the swiftest. I said, it's not to the one that runs the swiftest. If you lose your flame, if you lose that first love, if you lose that relationship, you've lost it all. Summer, we need to step back. We need to slow down. We need to stop and say, God, I need to hold on just a minute. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Help me to find where I'm supposed to be right now, because this is what's important. What is it is if we fail, if we fall apart, amen, on the last stretch, I found that life can be a lot like bull riding. I was sitting at my desk tonight, and I was reminded, we were camping with the kids at the campground across the street over here, and there happened to be rodeo going on, and they were doing it was a rodeo. It wasn't bull riding, but it was I guess it was that nationwide one. I don't know if they still come, but teenage rodeo, and a lot of high schools and stuff involved in this from all over the nation. It's really a big thing that happens over, and I encourage you to go see it if they end up coming back. I don't know if they're even still coming here. This is really neat. But they had kids, and I could be wrong on this, but I believe there was one segment where there were children under the age of 12 that had riding me, and it was either a midget bull or it was probably a bull calf. That's probably what it was, a little bitty. But it was a bull, it wasn't a sheep or a ram or whatever. I laughed whenever I thought about that. It's not politically correct, I'm sorry. But I couldn't believe that it was legal. That you could put this 10-year-old kid on the back of this thing. And I mean, it's bucking and these kids are getting thrown off. Some of them had chest protectors and helmets, but some of them didn't. I thought, wow, these kids are tough, man. I mean, they're hitting the ground and that thing's stomping all around and everything. I don't know if you've ever seen a bull ride. Someone tried to ride a bull. I've seen it. I've not done it. I have stayed at a Holiday Inn before, though. But the thing is watching those kids as they hit that ground, and they'd get up and try their best not to cry, breath knocked out of them, and they're trying to remain tough, and it's not easy to remain tough. And you know what? I've been that kid at my age now. But that is so much like life. The one huge difference is they're only having to stay on for 3 or 4 seconds. I know 8 seconds would be awesome, but nobody ever does that. But, you know, in life, it's not 3 or 4 seconds. The huge difference is that it's a whole lot more than an 8-second challenge. Life can buck you around. It can throw you. It can hurt you. You will hit that ground so hard, and the air has been knocked out of you, and you don't know if you're... And just like that, life will someday... It's not enough that you've been thrown on the ground and that you've got the air knocked out of you. When's the last time you had the air knocked out of you? It happened every week when you was a kid, didn't it? And it never happens anymore. I don't know how things happen. But can you remember what it was like? Some of you can't because you're so old, but some of you can still remember what it was like to have the air knocked out of you. And you think you're going to die. You think it's over. But now put over you a huge bull that's stomping and gouging and gorging and you know, and you're trying to get out of the way, and you think you're dying, and you're wondering if that's life for some people. And all of us are experience those times, and you know, you just don't know how is it ever going to quit? Is it ever going to stop? Paul learned the secret of how not to get thrown off the bull we call life, amen, and that was to hang on. But whenever you do get thrown off, amen, that you faint not, amen. Don't give up just because you've been thrown off, amen, just because you're there. That first verse of 2 Corinthians, amen, chapter 4, he said, we faint not, amen, don't give up. The Amplified said it this way: we do not get discouraged, spiritless, despondent with fear, or become faint with weariness and exhaustion, amen, even though the air might be knocked out of you. One of the things that was miraculous about getting the air knocked out of you is that when it happened, you didn't think you were going to make it, you didn't think you were going to live. And then, before you knew it, but then all of a sudden it's over. It's gone. Just like that. We're fine. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to come that point. It is not going to stay like this. It's not going to stay bad. It's not going to stay tough. Hang on. Don't quit. This is not the time to get bitter. This is not the time to cuss God out. This isn't the time to throw in the towel, because you have no idea. This is the thing about the devil. The devil sees a whole lot more than what you and I sees. And usually the only reason the devil starts messing with you is that he sees revival is about ready to hit your home. Revival's about ready to hit your family. Amen. Your children are about ready to come. And so he starts messing with your world. He starts trying to get you to give up. And too many times we do. But I'm going to tell you, due season is on its way. Somebody needs to hear me right now. Don't let this discourage me. Don't let it ruin you. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In other words, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. I'm not broken. Devil, hear me right now. I read the back of the book, and we win. Amen. You might think that you got the upper hand, but my God is still on the throne. Amen. I'm not going to focus on the challenges. Amen. We learn to praise God in our prison of problems. As easy as you do when everything's going your way, you'll see the power of God manifested in a miraculous way. This is scriptures that Brother David Graham read, beginning of service. I'm going to tell you, you serve a compassionate, loving God. It is impossible for praise and despair to coexist. I said it is impossible for praise and despair to coexist. You will get so much more out of a praise party than you will a pity party. You will feel so much better. You will feel so much better. I want the musicians to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us for a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God wants to use that situation you're going through for eternal, exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Something far greater. But if all you can see is the problem, and you don't see the way maker in the problem, it's never going to be used. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that which are not seen are eternal. If it is the devil, number one, he's only getting to do what God's allowing him to do. And he's trying to discourage you, but God's allowing you to be tested. But hold on, because there's no telling what God has in store for you. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I want to make for sure that I make it. Do I understand everything? Nope. Do I get weary? Yes, I am. Am I going to quit? Absolutely not. Why? Because all I have to do is keep putting one foot in front of the other. That's all that's required of me. That's it. Can we lift our hands and love the Lord one more time? Sister Amy, let's sing a worship. Thank you, Jesus.
May that name.